Welcome to the Encounter Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
How many know the Lord is never too busy? Come on, He will stop. He will stop. He will stop for you. He will not pass you by. Come on, there's a story in the Bible, blind Bartimaeus, and everyone said, shut up, stop being so loud. But he was blind. He couldn't see. And then he said, they told him to be quiet, and he got louder. Yep, that's right. And the Lord didn't pass him by. Come on, we thank you, Lord. Let the spirit of blind Bartimaeus come on and stop. Let us not be silent. Let us not be quiet. Amen. At this time, I want Jennifer Montoya. She's going to come, and we're going to have a little bit of some testimonies here, and we're going to share. And the band, I'd ask the band just to stay up here. Thank you for all those that are helping with the service today and our communion and our giving. Amen. Can you guys give it up for Jennifer as she comes? And then Brother Franklin, and then my good friend Orlando and his brother that I don't know yet. But anyhow, I know him. He's still my brother. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, turn around and look at somebody. Tell them they look a whole lot. Tell them, say, I see you in the future. And you look a whole lot better than you do right now. All right, come on. How many know our future is as bright as the promise of God? So let's welcome Wes and Jennifer as they come.
Thank you, church family. Thanks for having me today. This is a little different for me, being vulnerable in front of you, but I want y'all to know a little bit about me and my story. So that's why I'm here, and I want to give God all the glory. You see me worshiping the joy of the Lord on me, you know, you got to know why and where that came from and what God's done for me. So I brought my notes just in case. But I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for God's grace and His mercy. I would probably be dead somewhere and end up in a ditch, I don't know. But God, He rescued me. He found me, and He picked me up and brought me into a spacious place. So, let's go. The joy of the Lord is on me, and He is my strength. So why do I praise Him the way that I do? Because of what He's done for me. And I know I would never be here if it wasn't for Him. I was raised in a Christian home. I had two parents that brought us to church, but I was so rebellious. I didn't care. I didn't do anything that anyone wanted me to do. I was doing my own thing all the time. And at 15, I started drinking, hanging around the wrong crowd, started with drugs. By 16, I had a full-fledged drug and alcohol problem. I was addicted. I was addicted, and I had people tell me that. Thankfully, somehow, my dad got me to go to a Christian counselor during that time, and she started to speak life into me, and people tried to tell me that I had a problem. And so I said, okay. I remember being in one of the houses of the people that were selling drugs to me and to us, and I just felt the Lord say, you don't belong here. You got to go. You got to get out of here. And so I walked out and I went to a 12-step program on my own and got clean and sober for 3 years. And I was proud of that and went to college and then decided that I had alcohol. You know, I had it under control so I could go back and drink again and party and do whatever I wanted to do because no one was going to tell me what I could do. And so I started drinking. I never went back to drugs, thankfully. God delivered me from that. Praise God. But alcohol, yeah. I did that for a while, and I was pretty reckless. A lot of drinking, a lot of driving. 96, got a first DUI, went to jail. And you'd think that would get me, but no. Then again, in 1998, second DUI, I had a head-on collision into a tree with three other people in the car. Almost died had we not worn our seatbelt, but God spared my life, and I walked away from that with a little scratch on my knee, and that's it. I'm alive today because of Jesus, because he protected me, and he kept me. And, you know, it went on from there. Praise God. I continued to live a little recklessly and drove without a driver's license after that, and went to court, and the judge was kind of tired of seeing me, and he said, no, she's got to go to jail. So I went to jail for 5 days over Christmas and New Year's. It was a humbling experience. I felt very low, and I knew I didn't belong there. I knew that my actions sent me there, but I was the only person that had teeth, no tattoos, and no body piercing. I'm like, I don't belong here. And so I began to go to church because I thought, you know what, maybe God can help me. And so I went to church and met Raina's daddy, was blessed to have a beautiful daughter from that marriage. And we were married for 5 years. And then in 2008, I moved home. Moved home with my parents and filed for divorce. And in August, after moving in June, my dad had had a hip replacement done, and he died in August of 2008. So I had two big traumatic experiences that year, a divorce and losing my dad, who was my rock and who pointed me to Jesus. As I said, I was raised in a Christian home, and so he brought me up and taught me about the Lord, even though I didn't want to listen. I started listening after he left. And I believe he's in the presence of the Lord now, smiling down at me. So I decided to try relationships again, and through a series of failed ones, in 2010, I had struggled previously with anxiety and depression, and remember one time I was, in 2001, I was diagnosed with anxiety and panic attacks, and I went to the hospital, and it was terrible. And then I was fine for several years, and then in 2010, I just had a break. My spirit broke, everything broke, my mind. I was in a hospital for a week under observation. And I remember lying in that hospital bed one night, and I didn't have my mind. My mind was gone. I was hallucinating. I wasn't here. But God was there. And I remember him speaking to me in that hospital bed. I was laying in that bed, and in my mind, I saw myself in a body bag, and I thought they were about to take me away. And I heard Jesus, and I heard the devil fighting in my mind. The devil said, she's mine now, ha, 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 she's mine. And Jesus said, no, no, she's mine. And I walked out of that hospital, alive, free, with my mind, sound mind, because of Jesus. And I'm here to testify today of the goodness of God. And that's why I praise God the way that I do. Okay. Now you know why I jump around and why I'm screaming and yelling, and I'm praising Jesus because he saved me. He loves me. He delivered me from a life of sin and death and drugs and alcohol and mind captivity. God, I'm just so grateful for the love that you have for me. I was forgiven much, and now I love him much. I give him praise, all the glory. And I thank you for this man next to me, because God sent him to me. And this was something I asked for and prayed for. And he sent him to me, and I'm blessed. Thank you, Lord. I'm not finished yet. I'm still a work in progress, but now you know a little bit about me and why I praise Jesus the way I do. Come up and talk to me. I'd love to share more with you. God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Jennifer. Wes, if you could stay up here for a second. And remember a couple weeks ago when we did our marital panel, I just want to say that the reason Portia and I ever met was because of Wes Montoya. Wes, a lot of people don't know this, but Wes was the one that put on the Christian concert that Portia and I met at. So Wes reminded me, he said, Pastor Steve, I want you to know that I'm the reason you and Portia are together. So I just want to give you honor today, Wes, for that. Amen. Wes, if you can get on, jump on that keyboard. Come on, Brother Frank.
I might as well have my wife come up too. I praise the Lord for her. Amen. Love you, family. Love you, Encounter Church. It is so much that I have given testimony about here, and there's so much more to give testimony about. But the thing that I'm want to share today is having my wife, and I think I alluded to this during the marital workshop and during some of my other testimonies, that there's a life that my children will not have to know because of what God did in my life. There's a life that they won't have to witness because of the Lord's activation in my life. And I want to thank God because He brought me through some really, really tough times. Some really tough times. I can remember when my parents, when I was a young boy, I can remember when my parents would fight every day in front of me as a little boy. Little boy, my son will never know that because of God. He'll never know that because of God. I remember waking up and stepping over the roaches and stepping over the beer cans and looking for something to eat for me and my sisters, and my kids will never know that. It's because of Jesus. I remember as I was growing up, there came a point when my parents did divorce. Hallelujah, thank God. Because it was tough. And addiction was in our house. And so we went from the fighting to schizophrenia. My dad has mental health issues. And my mother went to crack. And so as I was on the middle school, when I was in my middle school years, I had to witness as a kid, my parents go through different forms of addiction and different forms of mental health needs. And I'm grateful today because my kids will not know that. They will not know. They will not know crack. They will not know the mental health. They will not know those issues being in their house. I've never even cursed their mother. I told her when we dated, I said, I will never curse you when we were dating. I will never curse you. Because that was my commitment to her, because I knew from my growing up where that led to. And I was committed to not doing that to her. But that's all because of God. When I was struggling in school because of what was going on in my home life, I was one of those kids that would get my work done, and then I would go and chat with people. So as I would chat with people, my teacher would kick me out of class, labeling me a problem kid. So day after day, I'm in middle school in English class, and I'm getting kicked out of English class, and the English teacher says, go over to the music class. And it was a punishment. When I would get to the music class, the music teacher, when I opened the door, she'd be teaching, and she'd just make a scowl at me. She'd scowl at me, and she'd send me off into these small rooms on the side, the rehearsal room. Well, in the rehearsal room was a piano and a book. And while I was getting in trouble and stressed out about what I was doing at home, God was teaching me how to play the piano all by myself. He was giving me an opportunity. Music has been my hiding place. And so I thank you, Sister Montoya, because this is why I praise him, because he gave me the ability to give him some glory. He gave me the ability to play. There was nobody else. He gave me that opportunity to know what to do. People don't know how many nights, if you're a worshiper, though, you know how many nights you cry out to the Lord. Well, when I was a kid, I would cry out to the Lord over the piano. I would sob over the piano, but he would hear me and give me a song. And I would say, thank you, Jesus. When I would fuss at the Lord about my mom and why these parents, Lord, he would just give me a song. And he would send new people into my life. So he sent me the music, and then he would send me people. So when my mom was on crack and drugs, God delivered her, by the way. I praise God. Hallelujah. She saved us, and she's just filled with the Holy Ghost. I just praise God for her. She may be watching right now. But in addition to the music, when she wasn't able to do that, he would send me people, teachers. He would send me other family members to take care of me. An aunt took me in. I spent most of my time with my clothes and bags on people's couches when I was a teenager. But I always had a place to lay my head. Why? Because his word said that he would never leave me nor forsake me. So even if I never had a room growing up, I had a place to lay my head. I had somebody who would cook something for me. I was able to get the Top Ramen. And you know what? If you grew up like me, you were happy to get government cheese. You were happy to find farina. You don't even know what farina is, but it's cream of wheat in a white box. It's the generic name. See, I remember those days when I couldn't find any food in my mother's house, and she'd be out on a bench, and I'd look above the stove, and it'd be just one box. A farina. And I think that box lasted for a year. God just kept filling that box up so that I would have something to eat day by day. And I just thank him for that. When I got out of high school, which I flunked out at first, then I went back and tried to finish something up. I then ended up in a room. God put me in a room with somebody that didn't grow up like me, who I didn't understand, who I didn't know if I could trust. I was in a room. I was actually on a plane. And I was on a plane, and I happened to have this gentleman say to me, what's your college plans? He don't know me. He was a guy from Marin County. And I was like, I don't even know about college. I don't even know what that's about. And God moved on him in such a way. See, y'all don't understand. My mama was poor. Her mama was poor. Her mama was poor. My daddy was poor. My grandpa was poor. He was a working class man, but he was poor. Welfare was always a thing in my house. The biggest thing we would do is the first of the month. That was a big deal in my house. I grew up under those conditions. No one ever taught me about money. No one ever taught me about how money works. I didn't know how to do fathering. I didn't know how to do husband. That wasn't available to me growing up. But God would send somebody, just somebody in my life. And all I had to do was be open to the uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable sitting on that plane talking to, he was an older man. But 2 weeks later, he took me up to Holy Names College, Pastor, and I walked into the president of the college's office, having never known that the college existed. I'm from Oakland. When I walked in her office, my admission papers had, my letter was already written. My financial aid package had already been secured. I didn't apply. I didn't ask. I didn't take SATs. I didn't have none of that. But God sent somebody who knew somebody to open a door. And the only question she wanted to know was, do you want to live on campus or off campus? God is able. That's why I shout. That's why I run when I can't get off the piano. That's why I give God the glory. And he's just, this is just portions. And then he sends me his word. And his word has been a keeper, because at first I didn't know that. I thought God was big and far away and he didn't care about my details. But he has clarified to me that he cares about my details. Now let me tell you about God. Despite all that and so much more I didn't tell you about. Oh, but I haven't told you about none of my knucklehead ways. I could tell a whole different story about being a knucklehead. But despite all of that, God has made a way out of no way again and again. We didn't know what we were going to do when we left our last church, but God brought us to encounter so that we could be up under the word. Hallelujah. When we came to Encounter Church, we were also in the process of moving a business forward. God has grown that business beyond six figures. We praise God for that. This is welfare, you guys. And this is God just making a way and me giving him the praise and me giving him the glory. He brought me a beautiful wife who is willing to trust me, who I'm willing to trust to go on this journey with me, who doesn't see me for all my flaws, but she sees Holy Ghost inside of me. When I don't see Holy Ghost inside of myself, I thank God for her. I thank God for my pastors. I thank God for every person who's coming to help me with my business. I thank God for that. The Lord sent me somebody, Pastor, just two weeks ago. I never met this person before. On the phone, she told me her name. Her name is Angela. She's a lawyer in Los Angeles. She's a lawyer in Los Angeles. Now, remember, we're trying to keep this business open. I'm a small business owner with my wife. I can't even... Jesus. I'm a small business owner. Thank you, Jesus. But when I got this call 2 weeks ago, this woman, Angela, heard my story of what I did with people in Palmdale and Lancaster. I had worked with some people in Palmdale and Lancaster. And she said, I'm going to help you find $40,000 to continue that work. She has put me on the phone with another person of wealth almost every workday since 2 weeks ago. I looked Angela up. I was like, well, who is Angela O? And I found out that Angela O represented the entire Korean American community during the Los Angeles riots as a lawyer. And it's her business to try to support African American leaders to come up to the levels that they need to be at as she understands it. And so I just want to thank God because he sends me the believers and he sends me the unbelievers. He's been keeping us in business. As we praise him, as we glorify him, as we handle his business, he's been taking care of our business. So I praise him and I thank him.
Thank you, Franklin and Gingy and Wes and Jennifer. And speaking of Lancaster, if you don't know where Lancaster is, it's in the high desert down south. And actually, one of our members of our church moved there, Sister Pat Swanson. And I told Franklin about that. But Pat Swanson, you guys all know Sister Pat. Sister Pat still supports Encounter Church, even though she has. So let's just bless Lancaster and let's bless Pat Swanson. So, Lord, we thank you for Lancaster and Palmdale and Pat Swanson, our dear sister. Raise her up and touch her body. Amen. Thank you. Come on, Orlando and your brother. I saw these gentlemen. I think they may have driven the farthest. They live out in Tracy. I don't know where you live, brother, but come on. No, just come here. Whoa. Let me not step off the edge here. We'll get you on camera right here.
Well, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is good, right? Every day, God is good. So, like we heard the testimonies over here from my brother here, I too know about the cheese, and I too know about, well, we call it mush, but I used to put the corn sweetener in there, the clear corn syrup, the sugar, the syrup. Carol, yeah, I would put that in there. That's how I got our sweet. So I definitely could apply to that because I grew up in the projects in East Oakland. And, you know, the Lord has pulled me from there to where we are now, where I am now. I want to honor my wife, Angela, for over 30 years we've been married. God blessed me with that woman to keep me in line because a lot of times I get out of my lane, right? Come on, somebody. So I want to come with you today. Well, I got my brother here, my brother in Christ by my side, and we're going to share something that's going to hopefully will affect, you'll hear the word, it'll affect the nation out there. Years and years ago, I was a gang member in East Oakland, right? Just a gang member terrorizing, doing what we had to do. I was farthest away from the Lord. I got saved. I hit a telephone pole at a high speed of rate on January 21st, 2001, and I got saved. And then it was good about that. The Lord totally he stopped my life and turned me around and gave me a new life and put my feet on solid ground, right? And I knew people. I knew where to go, and I knew Pastor Portia and Pastor Steve. I knew Mama Linda and Dwayne and at the Bay Area Church. And then, so we went there, I got saved, and then my journey started. So fast forward a little bit. I've been, serving, trying to be as alignment as I can with the Lord. Life is tough. But sometime, two months ago, I met this guy right here to my side, my right side here. And this is what happened. We're talking, right? We're fellowshipping through a men's group out in the valley. And he was saying things to me that rang my ear, the people that he knew. So what we did was that, see, he has a podcast. What's it called, Alex?
Freedom Network.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm going to tell this rest of this story.
Come on.
So in December 15th, 2019, to be exact, I found the Lord. See, I was raised in East Oakland, too. And I was gangbanging along with this brother. Yeah. And just living that life right there on 65th.
Yeah.
Well, my journey took me to prison. I took somebody's life. I spent 16 years in prison. And I played those games in prison, those prison gangs, and lived that lifestyle. And to this day, I still don't understand how I made it. See, because I wasn't that tough. See, I really wasn't that tough. I have four friends that, as I speak right now, on death row with death sentences. And everywhere I've been, I was telling them on the car on the way here, everywhere I was in that prison, somebody wanted to kill me. Every day, somebody wanted to kill me. And I wasn't that tough. I really wasn't. I saw monsters around me, men that could kill you with their bare hands. And they wanted to kill me. And I was transported to Folsom Prison in 1985 to the mainline from San Quentin from the SHU program. And they put me on the mainline. 2 days before I got there, two of my brothers were killed on that line. Those same guys that killed those two brothers tried to kill me. They attacked me with knives and they stabbed me. And when they put me on the cart, took me to that hospital, I'm thinking I'm about to die. And when they cut my clothes off my body, all there was red marks. There were no holes in me. These were professional killers. And I didn't know it at the time that God was surrounding me, that God had a plan for my life. I did not know it. Matter of fact, I thought God was punishing me, because I believed that God was punishing me because I was a bad person. So let's fast forward to last year, December. I thought I knew God because I just thought I knew God. I made up my own God. I had stopped robbing. I had stopped killing. I had even stopped using drugs. And I was trying to live a righteous life on my own. And life was heavy, very heavy. Trying to carry the weight of the world on your own shoulders, it's hard. 3 years ago, Christmas morning, my daughter was killed. And I had to withstand that without God in my heart. But little did I know that God was in my heart. And that God had me in his hands. So let's go to December of last year. I was at a point in my life where I couldn't take it anymore. Losing my daughter. People in my life coming against me all the time. I was a loner. I was basically a loner. And these people at my job were poking me. Playing with me. They weren't staying in their own lane.
Oh,
They were in my lane and they were in my way. And I got to the point where I started carrying a gun. And there was this one particular individual. I was just going to take him out. And I talked to God and I said, God, you brought me through everything I've been through to end like this. I'm going to kill this guy. And then when the police come, I'm going to be killed by the police. That's what I was choosing to do. And I came out of my house one morning as I lived at my job. I lived in an RV. And there was a brother out there, and he was washing an RV, and I never saw him before. And I walked past him, and he looked at me, and I looked at him. And I kept walking, and something told me, go talk to that guy. And I went over, and I talked to that guy. And he told me, we talked for a few minutes, and he asked me a question. He said, do you know Jesus Christ? And I looked at him and I said, yeah, I know Jesus. And he said, really? And I said, yeah. He said, what church do you go to? I said, no, I don't go to church, brother. I said, Jesus is in my heart. And I used to have this particular scripture that I used to recite about the Son of Man gathering all the sheep to his right and all the wolves to his left. And to the sheep he would say, come and inherit the kingdom of God that I prepared for you, because when I was hungry, you fed me. Because when I was thirsty, you gave me water. Because when I was lost and in prison, you visited me. And I thought, I do that. I help people. I don't rob people. I don't kill people. And this is why I'm going to heaven. But I was creating my own God and designing my own God. And that's why the world was really heavy. So this brother tells me, puts his hand on my shoulder, and he says, let me pray for you, brother. And I had a gun in my pocket. And he said, you know, Lord, just touch this man's heart. Make him feel your presence. And when he was done with that prayer, I felt something. I felt something. So I went to work. I put that gun away. And I didn't shoot that man. And then the next morning I woke up and I said, is this brother here again? And I saw him out there again. And he prayed on me again, which led me to a church called Mission City Church in Tracy. And I sat in the sixth row, third seat in. And they had an altar call, and I raised my hand. And I went up to the altar, and I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I walked back to my seat, and I stood, and they played music, and we were worshiping. And I saw the people standing in front of me worshiping. They were, hallelujah, they were praising God. And I looked at this man in front of me and I said, I wish I could do that. I want to praise God like that. And I heard a voice distinctly in the back of my head say, I'm not ashamed of you. And instantly my hands went up. And I surrendered. I used to see the police. And I used to do this. And now I do it for Jesus. Hallelujah. So when that service was over, I was looking at the guy in front of me. I said, I want to praise like him. And that man was this man that I knew 40-something years before in the streets of East Oakland.
Let me finish. So here's what it was that I didn't know this. God knows everything, right? So we ran together as teenagers in East Oakland. We stole cars together. We ran together. We stole cars together.
We stole a car together, and I stole it from him.
Yeah. You got that? So this is how we did it. Anyways. After we met, you know, so 40 years of not knowing him, and I told him, I'm going to quote what I said. We're on the telephone right here, and we're talking about Jesus. Our conversation is only on the Lord, right? And then we talk about his podcasting that he was doing called Freedom Network, and we're going over what I was saying and my testimony, and I was like, hey, Alex, so you're saying you know this person? He's like, oh, yeah, I know that person. And I said, and you know that person too? And I'm thinking, I said, bro, are you this person from Oakland? And he's like, I hadn't heard that name in 40 years. And the words out of my mouth were quotes like, bro, I thought you was dead. And I realized that, you know, he died to Christ. He dies to Christ daily. And God is so good, how he's putting us brothers back together. We have some things that we're going to try to do for ministry, for what God will allow it, and God will send it forth. But you know what? We give God glory for everything, for our testimonies, because our testimony of our life is past. It's who we are now in Christ, and we're moving forward for the kingdom, and that's what we're about. Hey, Pastor.
All right. Amen. Thank you, Orlando. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Jennifer and Wes and Franklin and Gingy. Amen. If you're here today, now, wisdom will tell you, you don't have to be crazy to have a testimony. I know we've heard testimonies, and we could tell everybody our stories of all the stupid things we've done, but I think the great testimony is God can keep you and keep you and keep you, and that you will have a heart of wisdom that you don't, even as Franklin shared, we don't have to get hit by a telephone pole like Orlando did. Amen. And so years ago, our kids would say, man, I feel like I got to do something bad in order to have a testimony. I got to go out and do something. Some of our kids in church, I got to go out. No, that's a lie. You don't have to go out and do something stupid. You don't have to go out. No, the wisdom will say, no, God will keep you and will give you a heart and a mind to love him and serve him. You'll have a revelation out of a relationship with God. If our musicians can come, I'm not going to preach a whole message to you today. But the reason I wanted to declare God's word over you and over this area is because when we share our testimonies, but we also declare God's word. And if you don't realize it, you're getting older and time is passing you by. And this year is passing you by. Before you know it, it's going to be the fall and 2020 will be gone like that. And so if there's never was a time for you and I to hear God's word and to open up our heart and to serve God and to be serious about God like he's serious about you is right now. You don't have tomorrow. That's the word of God. Jesus said you have today. Don't worry about tomorrow because today is sufficient thereof. Jennifer, when you were sharing this verse, I'm going to read. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 5. I'm going to read a few verses. I'll preach my message next week, but this is what Jesus shared. John, chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus says, my Father has been working until now, and I've been working. Don't you know that God is not dead, that he is still working? And Jesus is still working. God is not asleep. Jesus is not asleep. Jesus, in John chapter 4, when he ministered to the woman at the well, the disciples came to him and they wanted to give him food, natural food. And he says, I have food that you don't even know of. My food and my nourishment is to do the will of the Father. And now Jesus is here in John chapter 5, he says, my Father and I are working. Can you declare that? Say, God is at work. Say, work on me, God. Come on, work on me. Come on. All of you are a work in process. God is working, and God is working on people that maybe you've given up on. I remember a testimony. His name was Steve. I won't say his last name, but I grew up with him as a young boy. I used to get low. I used to get high with him. He was older than me. I'm the 9th of 10 kids, and so I also grew up, and some people you knew, my brothers knew, and anyhow, but this person was on the streets. Back then, it was called East 14th Street, and he was a heroin addict. Years ago in his life, I used to smoke marijuana with this guy, and I remember I saw him, and he was out of his mind. He was on heroin, and I remember looking at him, and now, in my self-righteousness, I didn't even have faith for him to get saved, even though I got saved out of drug addiction. But there was my sister, Rosemary, and another sister named Dorothy Elam. They were on the streets of Oakland. They were on East 14th and 35th Avenue, and they saw Steve, and they went and they prayed for him. To this day, Steve is serving God, totally free, totally delivered from heroin addiction. And why did I tell you that story? Because I got to a place in my life where I'm like, you can become self-righteous and you forget how far you've fallen. But God is at work. He's working. Therefore, the Jews, they wanted to kill Jesus. Then in verse 19, Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. Aren't you glad that you have a Father? The word of God says, when your mother and your father forsake you, or when you feel abandoned by natural resources, or you feel abandoned by natural man. Maybe it was a natural father, a natural mother, but for some reason you felt like you've been dropped like Mephibosheth. You know the story of Mephibosheth? Back in the Bible, he was the son of Jonathan. And he was dropped as a little boy, and he was lame in his feet, so he couldn't move. He couldn't go through life. He had a lot of excuses. But back to my verse, most assuredly I say to you, the son can do nothing but what he sees the father do. For whatever he does, the son does in like manner. For the father loves the son and shows him all things that he himself does and will show him greater works. And then I love this verse 21. It says, the Father raises the dead and gives life to them. I'm not talking about people that have just died in the natural. I'm talking about you and I. Sometimes you think you're alive, but you don't know that there's areas of death in you. There's areas that of death working. It can be working in your faith. It can be working in your heart. It can be working in your emotions. It can be working in your soul or your body. But how many know the God of resurrections speaks to every? You don't have to die physically to experience the resurrection life of the Father. It says the Father raises the dead. And that's why we testified, because some of us know the saving power of God, that we were dead. We were dead. Every one of you I'm looking at, you were dead at one point. You may thought you were alive. You may thought you were all that. You may thought that you're cute and fine and got it going on. You got a little bit of money. You got a job. And you think you're all that. But dear one, let something happen to you in life. Everyone say life happens. And when life happens, it's going to wake you up. And then when life happens to you, you're going to have to make a decision. What is life really about? Do you know the giver of life? As God's word says, that our God is a very present help in our time of need. Can we just lift our hands and say, Lord, we need you today. Lord, this region needs you. San Leandro needs you. Hayward needs you. The Bay Area needs you. This nation needs you. The nations of the earth, they need you. Every nation under heaven needs a Savior. And thank you, Father, that you raise the dead. For the Father judges no one, verse 22, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. I'll say that again. He who hears my word and believes in their heart or believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of God, and those will be given life. And so I declare, under the sound of my voice, to Encounter Church and to this area, hear the voice of God. Hear the voice of God calling you to come out of your graves. Come out of your areas of death. Come out of hopelessness. Come out of fear. Come out of bondage. Come out of addiction. Come out of hopelessness. I know I'm screaming at you today, but I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to heaven today. The Bible says to prophesy to the word of God, to prophesy to the wind, to hear the word of the Lord. All flesh is as grass. Man will fade and wither away, but the word of God endures forever. Can we just all stand to our feet here today? And if musicians, you could just play something today. Lord, we thank you for every testimony. We thank you for the spirit of worship. We thank you for your word that endures. Lord, when we don't know what to turn to, we turn to you. We turn to your word. Your word gives us life. Your word gives us faith. Your word gives us courage and hope. Your word produces life within us. Just go ahead and lay your hand upon yourself and speak life and say, Lord, I speak life. I speak your word over my body, over my physical body, that it would know health. Those of you that are carrying
Lord, that you're pregnant in the natural, or you're just pregnant spiritually. Come on, God has spoken to you, and there's something inside of you. There's a promise, there's a word, there's a fire. Come on, just prophesy and say, let it come forth, even as the word of God says, to stir up the gift of God within you. Stir up that gift. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor Steve, I want to call upon the name of the Lord today. Come on, just lift your hearts to heaven. Scripture says, they that call upon the Lord will be saved. It says, with your heart you believe. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. It's with the heart that you believe unto righteousness, and it's with the mouth that confession is made unto salvation. So can we make a declaration today? Say, Lord Jesus. Come on, everyone. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for giving me life today. Thank you for bringing life. Thank you for bringing resurrection life to my body, to my heart, to my children, to this region. Thank you, Lord. I declare you. Lord, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for bringing salvation to me, Lord, for saving me from myself, from saving me from this world, saving me from the enemies. Thank you, Lord. If you want special prayer today, you can just come on up and we'll stretch our hands toward you. You're great, Lord. You're great, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Church Sermon of the Week. If you would like to learn more about us, please visit EncounterJesus.us or search for Encounter Church San Leandro in your app store.